Hey everybody, this is Pastor Travis from AOL Church, and I want to thank you for joining us on our podcast. I pray this inspires you, encourages you, and leads you to your next step to connect with God. Enjoy the message. If you please still stay standing for the reading of the Word, we're going to 2 Kings chapter 5. We started out in 3, then we went to Genesis, then we went to 2 Kings 7, 2 Kings 4, now we're in 2 Kings 5. I do know how to count. It's just a bit rednecky, I guess. Y'all ready for the Word? Verse 1, it says, "Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, Syria, was considered a great man by his king and was highly respected because through Naaman the Lord had given victory to Aram, Syria. He was also a man of courage, but he was a leper. The Aramean Syrians had gone out in bands as raiders and had taken captive a little girl from the land of Israel, and she waited on Naaman's wife as a servant. She said to her mistress, Naaman's wife, 'I wish that my master Naaman were with the prophet who is in Samaria. Then he would be then he would heal him of his leprosy.' Naaman went in and told his master, the king, 'The girl who is from the land of Israel said such and such.' Then the king of Aram Syria said, 'Go now.'" Look at your neighbor and say, "Go now." "Oh, the time is short. And I will send a letter to the king of Israel, Jehoram, the son of Ahab." So he left and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 shekels of gold and 10 changes of clothing. Luke 6:38 says, "Give, and it'll be given back to you." And he brought the letter to the king of Israel. It said, "And now when this letter comes to you, I will have sent my servant Naaman to you so that you may heal him of his leprosy." Verse 7, "When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes in shock and outrage at the request and said, 'Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man sends to me a request to heal a man of his leprosy? Just consider what he is asking and see how he is seeking an opportunity for a battle with me.'" Verse 8, "Now when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes and sent word to the king, asking, 'Why have you torn your clothes?' Just let Naaman come to me, and he shall know that there is a true prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses, chariots, and stopped at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, 'Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh will be restored to you, and you will be clean.'" Verse 11, "But Naaman was furious and went away and said, 'Indeed, I thought he would at least come out to me. I came to talk to the pastor, and that is it.'" Some of y'all got that. "He would at least come out to see me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place of leprosy and heal the leper." This is supernatural right here. Because of something they did in the natural, the supernatural took over. "Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. Then his servants approached and said to him, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then, when he said to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and plunged himself in the Jordan 7 times. Just as the man of God had said, and his flesh was restored like that of a little child, and he was clean. Amen. God, we thank you for your word. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light into our path. Lord, give us direction today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. How many of y'all ready for the word today? How many believe it's going to change you? I always listen to old John Osteen's. Get this right. John Osteen's, the dad. One who probably didn't even need a mic. He was very simple. But he always said, "This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do." Today I'm going to be taught the ever-living, incorruptible seed of the Word of God. I will never, ever, ever be the same again. How many of y'all are going to say that today, that you're never going to be the same again by the word of the Lord that goes forth? I want to do a little business beforehand. I want to congratulate, probably they're watching online right now, Pastor Shannon and his wife, Carrie Undercuffler, on this new baby boy. Have you got a picture of him? There he is right there. Asa Oliver Undercuffler. And so I'm excited to meet the little guy. I mean, I saw that picture. I said, get that boy a steak right now. But isn't God good? That is an answer to prayer right there. He's 5 weeks early, and he was almost 7 pounds. And you know, Carrie, she's only 3'9" tall. Bless her heart. That would have been a large, everything about it large. Praise the Lord. But I'm so thankful for them. I'm grateful to the Lord for answer of prayer, and excited for both of them. They called us, Pastor Brandy and myself. We celebrated 16 years on Thursday. And yeah, thank you. And anyways, we were supposed to go to Florida. We were supposed to go to Destin, Florida. We booked it way back when everything was cheap, you know, in the middle of all that. And we're going to go celebrate there while we still weren't back to school, but they changed the schedule. You know, you're supposed to, I don't know, AISD, if you're watching, you're supposed to go to school after Labor Day, right? I mean, that just makes common sense, not to go back to school and then take some days off, but whatever. They didn't ask me. So anyways, we were supposed to go to Destin, Florida, and I said, honey, I know we can't go there now, so we changed our trip, and we went to the Destin of Oklahoma. We went to Oklahoma City. I said, it's just like Destin. If you close your eyes and imagine yourself on the white sandy beaches, here's bricks in front of you. Praise the Lord. All right? So I'm all rested up, got a lot of sun, just there for a day or two, and had a great time. Let's go to the word this morning. We've been studying on digging ditches. Let me see a show of hands if God's revealed some things to you on some digging some ditches. Not only digging ditches in your family, not only digging ditches in your business, not only digging ditches inside of your neighborhood, but digging ditches right here in the church, in the house of the living God. How many of you know God wants you to dig ditches? God wants you to be faithful. God wants you to make a difference. And right here in this house, I believe this is a place where we can make a difference, not only in here, but outside of these four walls. And so we've talked about in 2 Kings chapter 3, where the prophet, he has these three kings before him and says, you guys need water. What you need to do, I've heard from the Lord. The pianists begin to play, or the harpists begin to play. And I heard from God, and this is what you need to do. You need to dig a ditch. You need to move some mindsets out of the way. Like when you dig a ditch, you remove water. What you are doing is creating access for more to come in. You're getting rid of something, old mindsets, old ways of doing things, and saying, you know what, I want God. I'm not concerned about how the water's going to get here. I just know you've called me to dig a ditch. And I know there's some things God's been speaking to you on how you can dig a ditch. In fact, I'm going to give you some opportunities on how you can do it here in this house at the end of the service. But we saw that. We saw in 2 Kings 7 of where the four lepers, they said, if we just sit here, we'll die. I want to talk to you Americans this morning and remind you, if you just sit there, you will die too. Come on, I'm trying to put a little spur inside of your belly this morning. That we need to stand up, just like Pastor Beth talked about. We are a free country. How many of y'all thankful for the men and women that have died on the battlefields so that we can live in freedom? Thank God for them. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. But if you just sit there, you'll die. We need to dig a ditch. We looked at the widow woman last week on how she said, bring me empty vessels. The prophet said, bring her some empty vessels, not full ones. And I hope that this week you poured into your kids, you poured into your families, you poured in the board meeting or in some kind of meeting that you were in of what God is showing you, whether it be pack a sack or whatever it is. God has called you to be a light in darkness. And I want to charge you this morning. Be a light in darkness. We were around the pool at the Omni Hotel in Oklahoma City. Pastor Brandy and myself, we were a light in darkness. I met people that were thought the way I thought. I met people that did not think the way that I thought as well. But you know what God's called me to do? Love them both. Amen? I'm going to say that again. Why are we caught between two distractions here? God's called us to love. Love never fails. I see so many things across Facebook today. I just want to say, hey, it's okay. You have an opinion. But hey, can we walk in love? Amen? I want to dig a ditch of love. Amen? Love and joy and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and temperance. But we find ourselves here in this text in 2 Kings chapter 5 of somebody that I see that it took some coercion and it took some talking into here of him to dig a ditch. Because here is a man of authority. Here is a man that when I look at the name in here, I see right off the bat that he's a commander of the army. He's a great man. He's a commander. He's highly respected. He's someone who wears a badge of honor. He is a highly reputable man. Everybody knows who he is. But at the end of verse 1 here, we see this: but he is a leper. How many of y'all know people just like this? All right, I'm going to explain something. You're going to raise your hand here in a minute when I explain why we know people like this. See, with all of that gear, with that helmet on, with that breastplate on, with those shin guards on and those army boots and that sword in his hand and that shield inside the other hand, and him speaking with a tone of authority, that's one person that he lives. But when he takes all of that off, he has a disease that is a death sentence. You know, I see lots of people, they carry an authority about them or they carry something about them, but behind closed doors, there's obviously something that's going on in their life. See, they have a big butt. Can I get an amen out there? Got quiet in here. They have a butt, but he had leprosy. I know all these kinds of people. And you know, here's a perfect example, just on a lighter note before I go into some details. Y'all know I've been a Dallas Cowboy fan for years. I have not watched them ever since they kneeled. And I will not watch the NFL. In fact, I hope they go bankrupt in Jesus' name. How many of y'all believe the wealth of the wicked's laid up for the just? It's sad because I love the game of football, played it most of my life, and enjoy it. But here's the deal. I'm American way more than I am a Dallas Cowboy fan. And, you know, this is what I never understood about people when I was like a big, and I'm still a big sports guy. I love to watch sports and used to love ESPN, but it's got a lot. You know what I'm talking about. And so anyways, I never understood the people. In fact, I had a great neighbor who lived across the street, and I still love him to this day, an old neighbor. What I didn't understand about him, how do you grow up in San Jacinto and become a Pittsburgh Steelers fan? I mean, that's like being a traitor at birth. It's like we have another team in Texas. It is Houston. You could root for them. But I don't, how many of y'all, you feel my pain? You know what I'm talking about? Like, you root for Oklahoma and you grew up here? You know they're not even, like, they don't even speak the right English over there. Like, they barely know how to spell. Or how about this? Those of you, you'll get what I'm talking about. You meet somebody, they're like high society. They drive a nice car. They're members of the country club. They're all this different stuff. And then you find out they vote Democrat. Don't judge me right now. Y'all quit that. Or maybe they vote Republican. But I just don't understand that. Like, you have money and you vote to not have any at all. You get what I'm saying? So you know some people, like, there's some great things that are happening in their life, but are you guys getting me? Like, they're a true Texan, but they root for Oklahoma. That's a big but. And let me tell you something, some butts stink, and you know that. I mean, you know that person, they know the word. Get this, they know the word. When they have the armor on, they know the word. They got all, they put all the right stuff on Facebook. They walk through here in the church. And I'm telling you, they it's like they are, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. It's like Jesus or God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and them. They're ready to make a quartet together. But then one day, whew, they go off in a blaze because they're addicted to something. But they got a but. Or you know those people out there that they've experienced, maybe they have everything right now, but because of great loss, or maybe because of past relationships, or because of their past, now they have, maybe they're in a new marriage today, but because of decisions that were made 10 years ago, there's now trust issues with a kid. But there's trust issues with a parent. But they're offended. They may come in here at one time and they're great and they do great things and they're happy and they're happy and they're happy and they're happy, but that one day they came in and they got offended. And I'm telling you, that but sticks out. And it didn't matter how much of a royal king and a royal a fighter that this man was and all the battles that he won, the heaviest thing that everybody knew him about was this, that he was a leper. But he was a leper. How many of y'all know those people that everything looks good about them, but they're a liar? Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Maybe it is a sickness. I know some people out there, you think that their life is to the fullest, but they, because of something that happened in their life, they have a colostomy bag, and it just keeps them always pulled back of really jumping in and doing other things, or maybe even enjoying their family. Can I tell you, the devil is a liar. And I believe healing over their body. How many of you know there's people out there, they have, the Lord showed it to me like this years ago. How many of y'all, your kids, you play with the DVDs and things like that, and you see like the first four chapters of a movie, and then it starts back over because of the big scratch that's in it. You know what I'm saying? Like my little brother, Austin, when he was young, he watched Barney. Lord, save us all. I don't know that the new stuff's better. My goodness. But I remember I saw the first 26 minutes of this Barney, and I never knew what happened after that. So you had to rewind it because the tape would mess up. There's people that I see all the time in the body of Christ. They only get so far. They get so excited, but then they get to a place where the tape has a scratch in it. The tape has something in it to where they can't get past that little mountain. They can't get past that little hurt. They can't get past that little offense. I've seen people come and go. I know couples that have come and gone and left this church multiple times because they can't get past the butt. How many of y'all know some butts are small and some butts are big? No, seriously, can I get an amen out there? Whether it be small, whether it be big, I believe there's an ingredient in the text to get past this but. Right? Come on. And sometimes it can be a hairy situation. Moving on. Praise the Lord. So I love this because I see there's lots of people not only in the church, I see them all over. Y'all know people on side of your soccer team, you know people on side of boards that you're on, you know people out there that it seems like they only get so far and they can't get past the butt, and this is exactly where he is. And but what something that stood out to me about the text here was in verse 2, it talks about this woman, this little girl that is inside his house. Inside of this master's house, and he's working for his wife, and she comes to him in verse 4 and says, Naaman, she said to her mistress, I wish that my master Naaman were with the prophet who is in Samaria, then he would heal him of his leprosy. Verse 4, Naaman went in and told his master, the king, the girl who is from the land of Israel said such and such. What I love about this text right here is it was a little girl, someone that he did not think can make any difference at all. Can I open your eyes to something this morning? Pay attention to the little people in your life. You know what it pays to be today? It pays to be friendly. In yesterday's service, talking about Gail, we talked about Gail and how she was friendly. You know what friendly, hey, this is a thought. Bible says in Proverbs 18:24, it says a man who has friends must himself be friendly. You know what I've noticed about friendly people that smile, that shake people's hands, that look people in the eye, that are truthful with one another and, you know, show themselves kind? Those people have friends. Hello, Sherlock. You know, can I tell you many times that I've had favor in my life because I didn't neglect the little person? Like being on a plane where somebody began to ask me questions headed to the National Finals Rodeo where I didn't have tickets for two particular nights. And I begin to talk to him and his wife. Now, some people this comes easier than others, but he opened the conversation. I begin to be friendly with him. We ran into each other again at a convention center. And he said, hey, I have tickets for these particular two nights. You know anybody who needs two on these two nights? The friendly guy who sat next to you on Southwest Airlines, this guy right here. Can I tell you, how many of y'all can raise your hand of opportunities that you've had because you've just been friendly to the little people in your life? It was the little person that directed her to the king. Come on, you may be the little person to your boss, but you could be the one that leads him to the king. You might just be the little American inside of your home at 79108, but I'm telling you, it's the little people that could lead the whole nation back to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It may be the little things that you do, but I'm telling you, it's the little things that God promotes to the big things in life. And all throughout Scripture, it's people who are faithful in the small. God gives them things to be faithful in much. Don't neglect the little people in your life. In fact, you may be the little person as well, but direct people in the right direction of where they need to go. How many of y'all getting some out of the word already? Then it goes to verse 5. It says, I love it. He says, then the king of Aram, Syria, said, go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. Here's a man who wants healing. And so he goes to the king. And what does the king tell him? He says, go. Can I tell you, as an ingredient of me looking at this particular text right here, of some of ingredient to get rid of the butts in your life and to dig ditches. There's so many people in here right now, you're sitting on a dream of 1988. You know, and we've been dating for 4 years, and in 3 more years, we're going to get married. Get married! Come on! Quit dragging it out. He said, go. Now, you want a miracle in your life? Start now. Pray now. Go. Do something that you've never done before. Come on, get out of your comfort zone and be who God's called you to be. And go where God's called you to go and do what God's called you to do. I love it that he says, go. I mean, Naaman was sick of this being an excuse. Some of y'all, I promise you, you would rather have the excuse than have it fixed. I'd rather hold on. This, you know, it's because so-and-so left, and it's because we don't have this anymore, and because I just want to tell the story just one more time, rather than, hey, get off your derriere and go. Come on, do what God's called you to do. Go where God has called you to go. Come on, who am I talking to today? We've got to be bold. We've got to stand up. We can't just sit here and die. We need empty vessels. We need to be pouring out right now. The king said, go. I'll send you. And I love it. That's an ingredient that you need to know is go. Philippians 3:13 says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. What does he say in Isaiah? I'm forgetting the former things. See, what we want to do is sit on what was. We want to sit on the excuse. We want to sit on this is the way we used to do it. Come on. But I'm telling you, if you want a miracle today, you better get off your butt today in Jesus' name. You better change your confession today. You better begin to do the word today. Today. Everybody say today. It starts today. Get rid of the excuses. Quit staying on, you know, holding on to your butt. And let's run the race that God has in store for us. And then it goes on to verse 9, verse 12. So he goes, you know the story here. We read it beforehand. How he goes to the king. He brings an offering. And the king's like, well, what can I do for you? Well, Elisha, the prophet inside the house, he hears what's going on. And he says, hey, you send him my way. So in verse 9, so Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stopped at the entrance of Elisha's house. Now you got to understand, this is the commander of an army. This guy has all the markings on his chest. He has all the people following him. There's probably people with trumpets. He is showing up in style. He has the nicest chariot. He has gold. He has little people. He has big people. He is the one that all the eyes are upon. And he shows up. I've seen him show up here at the church. Look at me. Look at me. Oh, y'all ready? And so it goes on in verse 10. It says, Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh will be restored to you and you will be clean. Then verse 11, but Naaman was furious and went away and said, indeed, I thought he would at least come out to me and stand and call out to the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leper. And then he says, aren't these rivers, Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? You see something here that I see another, not only go, but another ingredient for getting your breakthrough in your life, for getting rid of the butt or the for the excuse or whatever, why you ain't going the other direction. Here it is. Humility. Humility. He shows up and he thinks, you know what? This is going to go my way. If it's going to be a miracle, it's going to be on my condition of the way the miracle is going to happen. And can I tell you, the Bible says this, submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. I'm going to say that again. The Bible says this, submit to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. You know, last week or the week before, I went and saw Greg Locke, and he pointed something out that's really been a heavy on my heart of how there's people that want to be bold, and there's people that want to be, stand up for some things. But if you're bold without humility, you're just a jerk for Jesus. I'm going to say that one more time. If you're bold without humility, you're just a jerk for Jesus. And so many people, they show up and they say, you know what? I want to talk to the pastor. Listen, if the pastor sends Pastor Robert, or the pastor sends Pastor Michelle, or the pastor sends one of the elders of this church, when you get an elder, you get the pastor. Because we're seeing some things. See, I see people show up all the time. I am called to do this. Well, you know what? We're seeing you're called to do this over here. See, and I see lots of times, if they're not going to be humble there, they're not going to be humble in the position that they're so called to be in. I know this is a hard and heavy word, but I'm telling you, if somebody who has been humbled themselves, if you're not faithful in the little things, God will not promote you to big things in your life. There's been many times that I've sat in moments where I've been corrected, where I could have either gone back to the butt of leprosy, or I can go on to what God has in store for my life. And so what I see here in this particular text, lots of people are talking about 2 Chronicles 7:14. In fact, Greg Locke brought it up that night, but if you pay attention to the text, he said, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray. See, the reason men don't pray is because they're so full of pride, they can do it themselves. We'll have a prayer meeting and 14 people will show up. People, the text says he will come and heal the land if you first humble yourself. If you two, pray. If you three, seek his face. If you're for, repent of your wicked ways. I'm telling you right now, you won't pray, you won't seek his face, or you won't even repent of your wicked ways if you don't first humble yourself. Men of God, humble yourself. I don't care what position or high ranking you've ever been in. I'm telling you, if you want God to promote you, humble yourself. Pride comes before a fall. You know why marriages get divorced? Because of pride. I'm going to say that again. You know why marriages get divorced, end in divorce? Because of pride. Because somebody's better than the other one. You know why relationships get split up? Because of pride. You know why sin enters in? Because of pride. The Bible says only by pride comes contention. It doesn't say anything else. It says only by pride comes contention. You know why there's contention in America? It's because there was pride right now in our leadership. There, I see people, they show up and they say, I'm from such and such church, and this is the way that I do it. You can always see a problem right away. Can I tell you a great way to be humble? Is to say, this is the way we do it. Us. In fact, I wanted to share a scripture with you. In the fall of Lucifer, it says this about him. In Isaiah verses 14 and 12, 13 and 14, it says, how you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, light bringer, son of the dawn, you have been cut down to the ground. You who have weakened the nations, king of Babylon, but you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of assembly in the remote parts of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Can I tell you something? Let's humble ourselves. Come on, people of God. Who's ready to humble themselves? I know this is a hard word, and there's only 50 of you ready to humble yourselves. But I'm telling you, I'm ready to humble myself. Only he can take the butt away if I get out of the way. He can do the miracle if I get out of the way. Not by might nor by power, but by your spirit, says the Lord of hosts. I better keep moving here. It says in verse 13, it says, then his servants approached and said to him, my father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then, when he has said to you, wash and be clean? Here's the third thing that I see of an ingredient to get rid of the butts in your life. The first one is this, go. Two, be humble. Number three, obedience. I see so many people, they talk about it, but they don't do it. What does it say in James? It says, be a doer of the word. I know lots of hearers. In fact, I know a lot of speakers. But I don't know many doers of the word. In Matthew 25, 23, it says, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. See, just be obedient where you are. Inside of your job, be obedient. Lots of times we want to buck the system and say why and all these different things, and you wonder why you don't get promoted. Just be humble and be obedient. I'm going to say that again. Let's be humble and let's be obedient. Come on, you're still not getting it. How many of y'all ready to be humble and be obedient? Come on, this is an ingredient of somebody who was plagued with something for years, had a butt that everybody else saw. But you know what? He was sick of the butt and he was ready to get rid of it. So he went, he was obedient, he was humble. Verse 14. I'm going to go ahead and ask the band to come forward at this time. Verse 14, here's another one. We go, we stay humble, we be obedient, and the last one is this, faithfulness. Will you say it with me? Say, faithfulness. One, two, three, faithfulness. No, I'm not interested in being a great preacher. I'm interested in you getting the Word of God. And see, you saying it out of your mouth, I hope you get it today. That there are some things in your life that you're going to have to do if you're going to get rid of some buts. Get rid of some excuses. Get rid of some things of stopping the tape where it always has stopped. And one of the things that I don't see in America and in the culture we live in today is faithfulness. You know what? Consistency. Everybody wants confidence, but you know how you get confidence? You get confidence through consistency. You know, I'm confident when I show up to shoe a horse. I'm very confident. I mean, there's not many situations. I mean, obviously, here a couple weeks ago, I came up to a situation I didn't know anything about or how to fix or anything like that. But I've been under thousands of horses. There's some of you in here, Bobby, he's been under thousands of trucks and cars. When he goes to work, he's not thinking to himself, gosh, I hope I get through today. If he is, don't call him as your mechanic, all right? But can I tell you, I'm confident. There's many of you, you're confident in what you do. There's some of you, when, you know, backing in the box, they're confident that they're going to rope the best of their ability. Those guys who are going up to the line, they're confident. Why? Because day in and day out, they've been consistent at what they do. You know what consistency is? It's faithfulness. It's every day, no matter what I'm up against, who I'm up against, what kind of wall I'm up against, I'm still going to do the same thing. Because can I tell you, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Word still works if you work it today. The Word that was in Genesis still works today in August of 2021. Can I get an amen out there? The same Word that's in 2 Kings chapter 5, this story is here for a reason, because it still works today. We just have to be faithful to put our hand to the plow to work it in our lives. And what I see is people, they give up so easy. I'm telling you, I would have not stayed a youth pastor for all those years if I just stopped at the first hiccup I came across. If I would have stopped at all these parents that were coming against me. If I would have stopped the minute that my senior pastor sat me down and correct me, no, you're wrong in this. Rather than being 10 foot tall and bulletproof, I humbled myself, I was obedient, and stayed faithful to the position God had put me in. You know, it's sad today, and I'm scared for our kids. I'm telling you, I'm thankful for a dad that even though I didn't like the coach, he said, son, you signed up for football, you're playing it till the season is over. We let our kids throw in the towel way too easily. What I love about this text right here, he says this, so he went down and plunged himself in the Jordan seven times, just as the man of God had said. See, think about it. When he plunged down, when he went down, Naaman. And I hope you get this, because this is a concept we all see throughout all Scripture. If they would have marched around Jericho six times, the miracle wouldn't have happened. All throughout Scriptures, if they would have brought full vessels, it wouldn't have happened. Consistency creates confidence. So think about it. When he went down, he had to come back up, and he still came back up to the butt of leprosy. How many times we start out in a ministry or we start out in a job, it's not what I thought it was going to be. Somebody told me to watch a Netflix show, and I watched the first one. It's like, how do you watch this crap? They're like, you got to watch the second one. Then you got to watch the third one. Then you got to watch the fourth one. Then you got to watch the fifth one. It was little by little. Being faithful to the show, I'm now hooked. You guys get what I'm saying? So think about this. He goes down and he comes back up. But if he would have stopped there, the miracle wouldn't have happened. If he would have came back up on the second time, how many of y'all know you have hiccups in ministry? You have hiccups in just like where we are right now in America. This is the second strike they're coming against us. I'm here to call and charge the Americans today. Stay faithful. Stay with your head up high. Stay faithful to the Word of God. His Word is still true today. I'm telling you, the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And they're trying to knock us down, but I'm here to tell you, I'm going to stay faithful to the Word. No matter what politicians tell me, no matter what any kind of medical person tells me, no matter what anything, any fear tactic that tries to come against me, I'm going to stay faithful to the Word of God. So he goes down a second time, and he comes back up, and he goes down a third time, and he comes back up, and it's like, I'm still. You know, let me point this out. He said, I could go back to these clean rivers of my hometown. Why don't I just do that? You know, let me tell you, the enemy of faithfulness is this. The Lord just showed me this. Is to go back to your comfort place. The enemy of being faithful will tell you this. You know what? I've tried this believing stuff. And I'm still, you know, it's just a lot easier. When I was in the bar every Saturday night, it's just a lot easier when I had all the same old friends. It's just a lot easier when I lived that particular life. Can I tell you, the enemy of faithfulness is lackadaisical. The enemy of faithfulness is going back to the old way of life. He said, I could go back to those old rivers. That'd be just as comfortable. That's what it is. The enemy of faithfulness is comfort. But he said, go. Let's stand to our feet. I'm ending it right now. Blessed are the short-winded preachers. Amen. He said, so he goes down a third time, and he comes up, and he's still the same. He goes down a fourth time, and he's still the same. And he goes down the fifth time, and he's still the same. Not only was God saying, are you going to be obedient, but he's pointing a picture to him and saying, are you going to be faithful? Are you going to stay consistent to what I've called you to do? Are you going to stay consistent of where I've called you to go? Are you going to stay consistent? Are you going to stay consistent to the Word of God? I made it to January 4th last year and read the Bible. I'm telling you, it's where the rubber meets the road on days like August. What is today? The 21st? 22nd? That you're still in the Word. See, you remained obedient and you remained faithful. Even through all the mountains and all the times where you had distractions and all these different times. See, God's called us to be faithful. I'm trying to give you an ingredient of the but that may be in your life to stay faithful. And he comes up again on the sixth time. And he's still the same. And he comes up the seventh time. And he's been made whole. Completely healed. No more buts. No more excuses. Made new. Come on, say it with me. Made new. Come on, say it with me again. Made new. Come on, let's say it again. Made new. Come on, get that in your spirit this morning. Get that in your heart. There may be some distractions right now that have been stopping you from the dig in the ditch of what God has called you to do. And go where God has called you to go. I'm telling you, there's going to be people in the way. There's going to be things in the way. But can I tell you this? Our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers over darkness. I'm asking you to get out the shovel and dig the ditch. Come on, who's with me this morning? I'm going to get out the shovel, and I'm going to dig the ditch. What was he telling him? He says, you know what? This is the same way. It's the same concept of digging the ditch. You don't have to see where the healing is coming from. All I've asked you to do is dig the ditch and dip in the Jordan River seven times. And it may be nasty water. And there may be people that you're up against, and there may be all these different things that flood your emotions. If I do this, this is going to happen. But God's called you to do this morning, to go. God's called you to humble yourself. God's called you to be obedient. God has called you to be faithful. Come on, how many of y'all getting something out of the Word today? Get something out of the Word today. Be faithful. Keep plugging away. Don't stop halfway. That's the voice of the enemy, is isolation and quit right here. When God gave you the dream to keep going, there's dreams in your heart that you stopped the tape way before the prize of what you were supposed to have in store for you. Can I spur you along this morning? Get back on the horse. Get back on the train. Get behind the wheel again and be faithful to what God has called you to go. Be faithful to do what God has called you to do. You know, there's many people out there, and I'm not asking for the ones that you've been coming to the church a month or 2 months, but there's many people out there, we have these cards that says, sign me up. And we're coming to a place right now where we're going to two services in September. And this is what we're believing God for. You know, even I asked Pastor Brandy, I said, even with all this stuff that's going on, do you think this is a great idea? She goes, if this is what God has called you to do, then you need to go and you need to do it. And she goes, I said, even with all COVID, there I said it, the cuss word. I said, well, they have two different services. They have one that's light. They can spread out if they want to. You know, everybody's at their own conviction. I've learned that. Not everybody's at the same level of faith that I am. May have one that have more spread out than the other one. Maybe that. But we have the opportunity as well to have a little more room inside of our children's church. We have an opportunity for to have, you know, there's so many distractions and things that are going on. I would rather them get the word than not get the word at all. I'm going to say that again. I'd rather them get the word than not get the word at all. And they may have some things in an afternoon or family wants them to go to some other place. At least they'll have an early service and an opportunity to come to the house of God and be taught the refreshed, uncompromised teachings of the Bible in their life. So with that, we need help. And like I said, I'm not talking to the ones who've been here just a couple months. You're still filling some things out because we do have a process of things that we're doing. But we have many of you out there that you have sat on your hands, you filled the pew, you filled the spot for a long time, and there's many of you that you're friendly and you can shake somebody's hand, you can dig a ditch. You can help out with clicking of a mouse. You can dig a ditch by clicking of a mouse, put the words on the screen. You can serve one, you can sit through one. However you want to do that, but we need your help. And so I'm calling for those of you that have just, you've enjoyed, you've soaked it up. Now it's time to pour it out. You've soaked it up. I'm not getting an amen from the ones I want to get an amen from, but oh well. It's time to pour it out. How many of y'all can lift your hand and say, because of me serving in this house, God has blessed me. God has turned some things around in my life. Praise the Lord. I have kids. So do I. A bunch of them. In fact, I got a few for sale if y'all want some. Y'all don't judge me. Come on. But here's the deal. I'm telling you, let's be a people that makes a difference. You know, if everybody just served, if everybody did something, I'm telling you, that obviously is heaven that I'm thinking about. That would be the dream world. But I'm telling you, you make a difference in somebody else's life, God will pour so much more back into you. And stay faithful to it. Don't stop on the first time, the minute somebody makes you mad. Don't stop on the second time when you life happens. Stay faithful to it. Come on, who's this word for today? Come on, who's this word for today? So we're going to have these. If you would like to put these, sign up for something, please put these inside of the offering basket as you go out. And we'd love, and there's process getting you on teams and things like that. There's process that comes after that. But we want to see who is committed to that particular thing. Last thing is this, every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're in here and you're in this room today, I don't want to leave this service without people knowing Jesus is the Lord and personal Savior. If you're in here and you say, you know what, I'm away from the Lord, I don't know Jesus. The Bible says, admit that you're a sinner. Believe that he died. He was buried. And on the third day, rose again. He come live on the inside of you. The third thing is this: confess Him as your Lord. You may be away from the Lord, or you may be close. You may have been close at one time and away from Him, or you may have never known the Lord at all. The Bible says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that He died on the cross and on the third day rose again. He come live on the inside of you. Maybe there's sin in your life. The Bible says sin separates us from God. And you want to confess those sins to Him. You want to make things right. Today is your day. If that's you, I want to pray this prayer with you. Say, Jesus, I believe, I admit that I'm a sinner, that I'm separated from You. But today, I believe that You died on the cross, You were buried, and on the third day, You rose again. Come live in my heart, Jesus. I confess You as my Lord. Make me new. Set me free. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. You can stay connected with us through our website, renovlifechurch.org, or follow us on Instagram or Facebook. God bless you and keep you.